It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, we're here, and we're doing life together, and as always, we're glad our audience is with us.
Happy 4th of July weekend, Dr. Linda.
It's the whole weekend.
The whole weekend.
We're going to celebrate the whole weekend.
You cannot celebrate Independence Day of the United States of America in one day.
That's true.
It takes an entire weekend.
It is great when it falls on a Monday, though, isn't it? Because it gives everybody a very long holiday so the celebrations can continue.
We start on Friday and go all the way through Monday.
That's right.
No big plans this year, by the way. We're going to stay close, so we'll just take it easy. And one thing I like to do when these holidays roll around, when you've got a house full of young kids, explain to them what's going on.
They could listen to our show and learn some things today, because we're going to talk a little bit about some of the reasons we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of history here, figuring out why we do the traditions we do. I'm going to be traveling on the 4th, so I'm going to come back and tell you all about that when I'm back from my travels. What do you have for us, Chris? What should we start with?
Well, let's begin with our favorite traditions. Fireworks.
That's a big one.
That's right. I can tell you this. Fireworks were invented in ancient China during the 12th century, and the Chinese invented gunpowder, which became the key ingredient in the creation of fireworks, and I've had friends that have tried to emulate that and have nearly lost fingers in the process.
Yeah, well, I've read that the Chinese thought the fireworks would scare away evil spirits. That's what I've read.
Right.
In terms of why they did those. And there's the Chinese New Year and Mid-Autumn Moon Festival. There's a lot of times when they use fireworks. China is the largest manufacturer and exporter of fireworks in the world. Our producer was able to visit a fireworks factory in the United States. Did you know there was such a thing?
Yes.
A fireworks factory.
Mm-hmm.
And she met Boom Boom Zambelli. Now, have you ever heard that name?
No.
He is famous on the East Coast, and I have been to two of his produced shows. The company, not he himself, he's deceased, but his family business is what continues this whole fireworks manufacturing chain.
Right.
And they do so many fireworks all over the United States. I went to one in Tampa Stadium, and it was to music, and it was spectacular.
Mm.
And I did another one in Virginia Beach. It was this massive production with big trucks,
right,
and they coordinated everything to the music. It was unbelievable.
So a computer probably
had the
music.
Yeah, you're the tech
guy. Connected to the fireworks, that's right.
You're the tech guy.
I need to call Boom Boom and the family and ask how that works.
It's very expensive, though. About a 15-minute display will cost you about $10,000.
Oh, wow. Did I read right that an Independence Day celebration can cost nearly $500,000?
Almost. That's not including the liability insurance. That's just for the fireworks itself.
Well,
if you're doing one of those big extravaganza.
When the owner of the company is named Boom Boom, you should have insurance for the event.
Probably chose that name for a reason.
That's right.
But if you're going to do the smaller thing, $3,500 to $4,000, they can come and set up in a day. What do you think?
What's the number? Yeah, let's do that.
It's just a lot of fun when we're talking about fireworks. It is a good thing that the company does employ people. This is a business. They have about 50 people. And around the 4th of July, they get 1,500. So this is a big employment opportunity for those of you who want something to do on the 4th of July. You probably have to be trained. That would be my guess.
I think so. That's right.
They're going to launch 2,300 fireworks shows across 32 states. Every year they do this. And about 600 of them are on Independence Day. So crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now that we know where the fireworks come from, do you know why we watch fireworks on the 4th of July?
I don't, but our researcher, Katie Reshetko, did a wonderful job of getting us good information to pass along to our listeners. What she began to find was that we set off fireworks on July 4th because of a letter that John Adams, one of our founders, sent his wife after they signed the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
One of the original signers sent a letter to his wife. In the letter he wrote that the signing of the Declaration of Independence should be a great anniversary festival, and it should be solemnized with pomp and parades and games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires. He was into it. I guess he liked a big party.
Yeah.
He wanted to celebrate that. That's a little trivia there from John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that our Independence Day should be July 2nd, because that's actually when the Declaration of Independence was signed. I didn't know that.
No.
Did you know that?
No.
But Congress didn't formally adopt the Declaration until the 4th. The 4th became the official day. Mm. That's why we do it on the 4th of July.
Then the following year, Congress actually ordained the tradition of 4th of July in Philadelphia with a grand exhibition of fireworks, which began and concluded with 13 rockets on the commons.
Wow.
Which represented, of course, the 13 colonies. Nice. And it became a federal holiday in 1870.
I didn't know any of that. Maybe our 4th of July message to our listeners is you can always learn something new. And I do this. I try to learn. But fireworks are this huge business.
In 2014, consumers spent $675 million on fireworks in the United States just for the 4th of July.
Wow.
That number might go down a little bit since the 4th falls on a Monday this year, but that's still a lot of fireworks.
That's a lot of money. I have to tell a little story. I want people to be really careful with fireworks mm-hmm. this holiday, because when I was growing up, we had a child on our block who was playing with fireworks and was setting off something, and it exploded, and he lost an eye.
Wow.
That was really traumatic for us as children, all in the neighborhood shooting off all these fireworks in the street, and we were all having a lot of fun, and it just blew off in his face.
Well, there is a part of the 4th of July that's not quite as traumatic. That's, of course, the music. John Philip Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever.
I played the piccolo solo in that.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow.
I played the piccolo. I loved it. I love all that music that we have. I am a real fan of the Boston Pops.
Right.
I don't know if you ever watched them, but the Boston Pops are wonderful mm-hmm. to watch.
The Star Spangled Banner, speaking of which, became the national anthem on March the 3rd, 1931. It was signed by President Herbert Hoover.
What about parades? Do you think people still do 4th of July parades?
I don't think they're as big as they used to be.
They used to be huge when I was mm-hmm. a kid. But the whole town would come out with that. I guess that people are still doing that. They're still wonderful traditions. I do want to get to one of the traditions before we go to the break, and that's the eating contest that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Our former neighbors were big on this tradition. We would have this pool cookout at their house every year, and they would make us come in and watch the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest on Coney Island. And my daughter went to it last year. About 35,000 people show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's televised. It dates back to 1916. The first guy, whoever did this, ate 13 hot dogs in 12 minutes.
I can do that at lunch.
I could not do that. Right now, the top competitor is Joey Jaws.
Right.
Chestnut. And he's going for his 10th consecutive victory. His record right now is 69 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And the woman's record is 45 hot dogs in 10 minutes. And you need to go look at this woman. Mm-hmm. Just Google the woman record holder, and you'll see her. She's this tiny little lady.
Yes, I have seen her.
I just don't understand.
Well, he's not alone. Americans are expected to chow down on 150 million hot dogs this weekend, according to a statement released Tuesday by the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
Which we did not know existed.
No. That's enough hot dogs to stretch from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles 5 times.
Wow. 700 million pounds of chicken are purchased in the U.S. during the week leading up to Independence Day. 190 million pounds of beef are snatched up in 2 weeks preceding the 4th. There's going to be a lot of eating going on.
Yeah, exactly. Another number for you. Spending on food this weekend, $6.6 billion with a B for this holiday weekend, according to the National Retail Foundation.
So we like to eat.
Sounds like it, yes.
We like to do fireworks, a little less excited about parades.
Right.
We like the music. We're getting the feel of what the whole American experience is going
to
be.
We've got lots more July 4th to talk about right after the break. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show on this pre-4th of July weekend. Hey, it's Chris Weigel here. If you missed the Dr. Linda Mental Show, you can catch up by reading her blogs or listening to her podcasts on the MyFaithRadio.com website.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Happy Independence Day weekend. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you're looking for something to do this weekend with a patriotic feel for the 4th of July, a great way to find out what's happening in your area is to check the local newspaper and radio stations for events. Those announcements are all there. Or you can just Google 4th of July parades in your town or city, and generally you'll find exactly what you need in your area to celebrate the 4th of July. This is the holiday on which we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, a document that declared our separation from Great Britain and our emergence as a sovereign nation. Breaking away from Great Britain was really a big deal for the people of the original 13 colonies. The men who signed the Declaration were committed to a different life for themselves and their families, and a different form of government for all the residents in this new land.
That's in a nutshell what this holiday is about. Related to that, Chris, a Gallup poll recently asked what Americans of today liked most about living in America. When I hear that phrase, I think of James Brown. Sorry, living in America. Just kind of hit me.
This is what did Americans consider individual freedoms, the quality of life, and the opportunity for people to get ahead.
Kind of similar to what we've heard for years and years, the quality of life, certainly if you ever go and travel,
right,
you can see from other countries how blessed we are here. And I'm very grateful. Every time I travel to another country, I'm so grateful for the tremendous blessings we have in the United States. And also the opportunity. People still have opportunity here to come with very little. My grandfather came over from Germany, had nothing. He lost everything in the war. They took his land, took everything that he owned, and co-opted him into the Russian army. And he served and got over here with nothing. And he made a good living over time. It's the American story, isn't it?
A friend of mine immigrated from Venezuela. And once I asked him, I said, "You wanted to leave Venezuela, why come to America?" And he said, "We don't have enough time for me to explain why I came to this country."
Yeah, it's still a great place to be. And it's interesting that people said individual freedom. I think that's a little bit of a shift from where people in the past might have talked more about religious freedom. But as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, religious freedom is under attack in our country. The freedoms, the quality of life, the opportunities, all reasons why we are so glad to be American.
The original framers of the Declaration were very aware of our need for God when they established our nation. Our Pledge of Allegiance to our flag says, "One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Do you think we're losing that dependence on God?
I really do. If we just think about what's going on in the culture, that whole phrase, "one nation under God," has been attacked. There's a whole group of people who want that out of our Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
It seems to me that we are becoming much more self-sufficient. Think about it. That is kind of the American way. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're independent. You can do it all yourself. But in that process, one of the freedoms we fought for was our ability to choose God in our relationship with Jesus Christ and to have that freedom and be dependent on Him. When you read the framers, Chris, they were so specific about God in this whole process. It was a dependence on God in a very healthy way that they chose, which is why they came over here for that religious freedom.
One thing about that phrase that I've always thought should stand out, we read it, "one nation, comma, under God, comma, indivisible, comma." If you think about it, it's one nation under God, indivisible. As long as we are led by God, this country will have a hard time being divided.
Yeah.
The more God is taken out of the fabric of who we are, the more we will see our country fall apart.
Yeah, I want to read something from Jay Sekulow, who's a friend of mine who leads the American Center for Law and Justice. "Religious freedom," he says, "is one of the core principles upon which the American system of government is based." We would agree with that, right? We left England because of the oppression, came over here with that idea of the religious freedom. And yet, he says, "religious freedom in America is under assault." I think you and I would agree with that. "Politicians mock the faithful's claims of religious conscience, while government entities and actors treat religious freedom and expressions as obstacles to be overcome rather than as important values to protect. individuals of all faith or none and from all points of the political and ideological spectrum should be alarmed at the mounting assault on the free exercise of religion and freedom of religion expression. The erosion of one's constitutional right, especially one as fundamental as religious liberty and the freedom of speech, may serve as a precedent for the erosion of other rights to the detriment of all Americans.
I think he's right on. And it seems like we're seeing more of a hostile attitude towards religious freedom than ever before.
We are. And it's so amazing to me that this is what we were founded on. And it's being so attacked. You know, you can't even in a university or a college these days bring up something because a lot of university professors teach that religion is for the weak.
Right.
Religion is oppressive when actually you and I know, as we're going to talk about in a little bit, the religion of Jesus is a very freeing religion that we choose to serve him. We're not oppressed by the law anymore. The new covenant is that we have the freedom in Christ, that we have to choose God. You can look at so many facets of the culture, and there are a lot of political shows on that are constantly talking about which of these rights are under attack. Prayer in schools. You and I were talking about a case where a 7-year-old boy, his mom would put little scriptures in his lunchbox, and he would take them and he'd read them at lunchtime.
Right.
And then his friends liked him. So the mom sent some more scriptures in so he could share them with her friends. And the school did not like that and thought that was a violation of the separation of church and state, which is so grossly misinterpreted.
Right.
And they sent a police officer to his house, a 7-year-old getting scriptures from his mom and reading them to his friends at schools. That kind of thing frightens me. It really does. And I think we need to pray. And not only do we need to pray, but we need to fight for our religious freedom. Prayer is powerful. And if all the people in the country that are Christians would get on their knees and pray, that's powerful. But we also have to fight. We need to be vigilant. So I think today we want to encourage our listeners to think about freedom. It's important to each of us to think about the freedoms we have now and how they play into our everyday lives. And we certainly don't want to lose those freedoms. We're going to look at a few comments from anonymous writers that we found online. And I just want you to think as we're reading these couple of essays from writers about freedom and what these people are saying. And in some ways, some confusion around the whole concept of freedom.
Right. Here's one that speaks about how a teenager might see freedom. Freedom is often defined as a lack of restraint or having no boundaries. People everywhere dream of all types of freedom. In communist countries, people dream of the freedom of choice. In an everyday job, people often dream of the freedom to escape from the troubles of life. However, teenagers, more than any others, dream of and look forward to freedom. To a teenager, becoming an adult creates new excitement and freedom to look forward to. Teenagers look forward to the freedom of college, career, and independent life as a responsible adult.
Now, what's so interesting about that is when teenagers start to have to move into adult life, they find out that the responsibility is a big part of what comes with freedom. So it isn't just the freedom of escaping things and getting away from stuff. It's a different kind of freedom that we'll talk about. Here's another one that somebody wrote. Freedom is not servitude, restraint, slavery, or necessity. Instead, freedom is the ability to choose. One important aspect of freedom is that when another person's freedom begins, yours ends. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear are the four essential freedoms exercised in America, each one as important as the next. I think that we're having a little bit of confusion. There's a lot we could unpack in those couple of comments that people wrote. And I think we're a little confused on what really freedom means.
It doesn't sound like a pure effort.
There's this whole notion in our culture that freedom means I want to do what I want to do. And as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, then I can do whatever. And that's not the kind of freedom that we're celebrating on the 4th of July.
Well, today we're talking about something near and dear to me and to many of you in our audience, our freedom and why we celebrate the 4th of July. Stay with us for more on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Ever hear the expression, to have a friend, be a friend? Well, most of us have. If you really want to be a treasured friend, why not visit the Friendship Spa? Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor and author of the book, We Need to Talk. Now, before you think this sounds crazy and expensive, I'm not talking about a real spa. I'm suggesting that, like a real spa, though, you enlist some soothing treatments for your friendships. Well, try this one. Why not soak your friend in prayer? Praying for someone else builds passion and compassion. It helps us see them as God does. Or how about this? Apply a liberal amount of encouragement. Just like aromatherapy, encouraging your friend's abilities and strength releases the sweet scent of trust and understanding. Sometimes a friendship might need a deep tissue massage to get at the root of a disagreement. But if you've been visiting the friendship spa, then the truth of Proverbs 27:6, where it tells us that the loving reproof of a friend will only make us and our friendship stronger, will take effect. So how about it? Why not give the friendship spa a try?
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. We've been talking about the 4th of July today. We hope you're getting your plans together to celebrate this most important American holiday. We told you earlier about fireworks and eating hot dogs and some of the reasons we need to protect our freedoms. But regardless of what happens in our country, we do have some great news. We can tell you where true freedom comes from. And if this is new information to you, listen to what Dr. Linda has to say about how you can be free.
This is the most important part of the whole thing. We're going to talk about true freedom, which is found in Christ. And if you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to consider looking into it, talking to a pastor, having someone talk to you, getting out a Bible, looking at that. We're going to give you a couple of scriptures. I love this scripture in Galatians 5:13, and I'm going to read it in the Message version. Sometimes I like the Message version because it's everyday talk.
Well, Eugene Peterson, yeah. I find him to be an amazing person anyway, and he takes the Message and drops it right in your lap. It's refreshing to read.
So here's the Message version from Galatians 5:13. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Look at that scripture, because you know, we were reading those essays from some of those anonymous writers, and they were talking about freedom means that you could do whatever you want. This is what it says in scripture. This freedom, the type that we're talking about from Christ, is not an excuse to do whatever you want. Freedom has responsibility, and that responsibility is the more we're like Christ, the more we understand that Christ makes us free because of what he did for us on the cross, that we want to serve other people, to love other people.
Being a selfish people, it's hard to imagine how serving someone else and giving of yourself gives you freedom.
It's not the natural way. The natural way is to be very self-centered and think about you, but the way of the cross is Jesus sacrificed himself for us so that we could be free. I think about this when I think about this whole idea we started to talk about in the last segment about we choose this dependence on God. When we're free in Christ, we say, God, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to submit to your way. I'm going to live by your law and by the new covenant in the New Testament. I'm going to choose to live in that relationship with you, allowing you to do a work on my heart and allowing you to sanctify me. It's the exact opposite message that the serpent gave to Eve when he approached her in the garden. He was basically saying, hey, you're smarter, you're better, you know better, you should do what you want to do. Go ahead and eat that fruit.
The serpent said, you.
Yeah.
And Eve heard, me.
And she was being independent from God, if we think about that. He's saying, don't consult God, don't think about what God wants you to do. Don't you think that's a lot of what our problem in the culture is today?
Absolutely. Yes.
We're not consulting God. We're not looking at his word. We're not using the Bible as a guideline for how to live. And we become very independent from God. Satan convinced Eve and Adam to act independently from God, and that's when sin began. If you're thinking, I don't need God, I'm a good person, what is all this religious stuff? It's a freedom that you have in surrendering your life to God because he wants your best, and he created you. He knows you. He designed you, and he knows how we think, we act, behave, and he knows what we need in life so that we can live a flourishing life in him and have wonderful things like peace and contentment and freedom from worry and all these things that are ours if we love God. It's a different kind of dependence. We could say as Christians, happy Dependence Day on God.
That's right, because...
Should we do bumper stickers?
We should, right. And get a Dr. Linda Mental Show logo on the sticker.
Doesn't have to have my name on it. Just thinking, it's a good reminder. It might be good to have that on the back of everybody's bumper. Be dependent on God on Independence Day.
True independence for a Christian is 100% dependence on God.
There's not really any power. This is what we're trying to say. There's no power in being independent from God. And Adam and Eve certainly learned that the hard way. If we are left to our own devices when we cut God out of the picture, we're not doing very well. So we want to preserve our freedom by following freedom based on a dependence on our God and an interdependence on each other. That's the church. Being interdependent with each other, helping each other, being the hand and the foot and the part of the body and all helping each other. That's a good kind of interdependence that we want. There's a poem based on this Galatian scripture that I read earlier. It's called Freedom. We have truly been set free, for Christ has redeemed us. We can walk in his holy power and know his saving love. May we stand fast in this freedom, not to be again ensnared by the heavy yoke we once had borne. When spiritually we were dead, but thanks be to God who has given us liberty, who has resurrected us to walk in his victory. So if you're concerned for our land and for the freedoms we share, don't give in to worry or despair. We have a promise in Scripture that all of us can apply every day. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, where we are reminded of a very, very important Scripture. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is my prayer on this Independence Weekend, that as we celebrate our freedom as a country, we turn from our independence from God and see our need for complete dependence on him. Let's freely choose to humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, and trust God to heal our land. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. Thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, talk to you next weekend. Happy 4th of July. In the meantime, remember, we are here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.